Well, what a way to start the Brian Kelly era at home, to start the season at home. LSU Southern, the vibes on campus were absolutely insane. The place was packed. And LSU also did some pretty good things on the field as well. So, on today's edition of Locked On LSU, I'll break down what I liked and three things that I didn't like from LSU's blowout of Southern on Saturday night, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also find us on YouTube as well. You can find us at Locked On LSU. I'm Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I've been covering LSU football since 2016, and I now host a sports talk radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. But let's get into it, because that game on Saturday night, I wasn't there. I wish I could have been. I talked to y'all last week about how I wouldn't do anything to have been in Baton Rouge this past weekend, not only just to open up the season at home, but because it was such a legendary and historic day for Louisiana football. Southern coming to LSU, LSU Southern going head to head for the first time in either of those programs' history, first time in history, period, which I think is just really cool for. It's cool for LSU, it's cool for Southern, it's cool for the city of Baton Rouge, it's cool for Louisiana football, for those teams to continue to be connected and to continue to play. Love it. I've been a huge advocate of the LSU Southern game being played, you know, pretty consistently. And I understand that after the butt whooping that took place on Saturday night, Southern might not be too eager or chomping at the bit to face LSU, not every year, but, you know, every couple of years. But it was fun. It was really, really fun. And I'm sure the, you know, the tailgating energy and atmosphere was incredible. I tweeted out on Saturday. I said, I feel pretty good about the fact that this might be the best tailgating experience in the country. I mean, take FBS versus FCS opponent aside, because I'm sure that that was the best FBS, FCS opponent kind of matchup, tailgating energy atmosphere, probably in the history of college football. But I think that it was probably the best pregame atmosphere that you could have gotten anywhere across the country. So just a really fun night and really fun to watch as well, because we can take away, you know, all of the things that we saw off the field, the atmosphere, what it means for Louisiana football, what it means for the history of football moving forward. But there was a lot of things that we learned on the field as well. So on today's edition of Locked On LSU, I want to break down the three or four things that I did like, the three things that I didn't like from that game, things that I think that LSU can build upon moving forward, and things that make me feel a little bit better as an LSU football fan after seeing that on Saturday night as well. But I think overall, just my overall takeaways, just kind of what this game means moving forward, first and foremost, Brian Kelly told us last week what he wanted to see from this team moving forward, and maybe what would have been, or what was the problem against Florida State 2 weeks ago. Just to refresh your memory, this is what Brian Kelly had to say last week.
You talk a lot about urgency and playing with urgency for four quarters. Just what does that look like to you in terms of what are the attributes you look for in a game setting of a team playing with urgency?
It's kind of what's out in the hallway is playing four quarters is to start fast. And so, you know, we need to start fast. So, you know, from a coaching standpoint, we needed to put our practice schedules together this week where, you know, early in practice, we were starting faster. And, you know, we didn't go right to individual. We went to some teamwork just to get our guys going. We have to, you know, understand our personnel and how they play in an up-tempo situation. So, you know, I think it's, like I said, it's we have to coach better, we have to play better, and then we have to look at, you know, our start. And that sense of urgency is that every play matters. We can't wait till, you know, the last 13 minutes of the game where we go, oh, okay, we got to turn it on. We've got to turn it on from the very beginning.
Playing with a sense of urgency. That's not what we saw from LSU on Sunday against Florida State, but that absolutely is what we saw from LSU on Saturday night. Now, I also want to couch all of my takeaways, all of the things I liked and things that I didn't like, with understanding that this was a game against Southern, understanding that this was an FCS opponent, understanding that LSU should have beaten Southern handedly, because that's just what bigger programs, more premier programs with more talent and more money and more funding, that's just what they do to smaller programs. Now, maybe not everyone, looking at you, Texas A&M. But anyways, that's what should have happened. That's what we all expected to happen, that LSU should have won big. So in these kinds of games, I look at that and say, you know, how much can you really take away from games like this? And I think you do have to take everything with a grain of salt. Because, of course, yeah, LSU can beat Southern 65-17, but that's not going to be what your games against Mississippi State this weekend look like, or games that against Alabama or Tennessee at home in Tiger Stadium. It's not going to be what those games look like. So take everything with a grain of salt, but also understand that there are things, even when you play inferior opponents, there are things that you can take away, both good and bad. So I understand that this game against Southern, it's going to be couched with, okay, well, yeah, I was against Southern. And I agree, because if there's something that I liked against Southern, great. Love that you did that. Let's turn around and do that against Mississippi State. Let's turn around and do that against New Mexico. Let's turn around and do that against Florida, against Tennessee, so on and so forth. But I think you've got to take little tidbits as you can go, because at least I can sit up here and feel better about this program today than I did last Monday after that Florida State game. Even though it was against Southern, I understand that, but there's still things to take away from it. But getting into it, starting fast, playing with a sense of urgency. LSU didn't do that against Florida State, and they did do that against Southern. I think that's a good sign. Of course, you know, the energy of being at home and the energy of knowing, like, hey, we're about to dominate this opponent. Of course, that gets everything going. That gets the adrenaline going. That gets the sense of urgency of coming out and playing fast going. But it was a very stark difference from the way that LSU came out and played against Florida State, the way that LSU came out and played against Southern. Because, you know, first drive, touchdown. Very first play, you saw Jaden Daniels get it moving. There was a sense of urgency of playing fast from the very, very beginning. And that's so key against any opponent. I don't care if it's Southern. I don't care if it's Florida State. I don't care if it's Alabama. I don't care if it's New Mexico. I don't know. I don't care who it is. You have to come out and play fast. Because I don't want to see LSU put up in a situation in the fourth quarter where they're forced to drive down the field 99 yards in a minute and a half because they dug themselves in a hole early on because they weren't able to get things moving quickly. So that was good to see. Overall, one of my biggest takeaways was coming out and playing with the sense of urgency that LSU needed to come out and play with. And I think the other big thing for me is the confidence boost that this team really needed. I think that I felt pretty down in the dumps about this team. I'm sure you did too. And you can always couch that with, but it was just the first week and it's Brian Kelly's first season and things are going to take time. And all of those things are true. And I fully understand all of those things. He's a first year head coach. You know, you had a quarterback competition going into the season, which we'll get into as well. Garrett Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels. You got a lot of things that are up in the air. I understand that things are going to take time. But I didn't walk away from that Florida State game feeling encouraged. And I think now I do. And I think it's the confidence boost that I think you as a fan and me myself, I know that's a confidence boost that we needed to see, was just pure, utter domination. That's what we saw. And I think that's what this team needed. I think this team needed a reminder of, hey, look, we're LSU. No, we can go out there and we can score some points. And yeah, week one was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing loss on primetime television. But it was a little boost of confidence of, look, we are back. You know, you fix some of the mistakes that you made week one. You come out and you're able to put up big numbers. That's key, especially going into SEC play. You need a good confidence boost and you need that good energy to be rolling into Mississippi State. And I think that's exactly what Southern got, what LSU got against Southern, rather. No, you know, A.J. Brown and LeBron James didn't watch this game against Southern like they did against Florida State. But none of the outside kind of chatter should matter. All that should matter is inside the locker room, we feel better. Inside the locker room, we got our groove back. We got our confidence back. And those are the most important things moving forward. Have a short memory. Florida State's in the rear view. That's an L. That's okay. That's in the rear view. Got a dub against Southern. Let's move on and take care of business against Mississippi State. But coming up next, three things that I didn't like. I'll start on kind of a more of a negative tone, but then I'll get into the positive things. We'll end this podcast on a high note. But coming up next, three things that I did not like LSU against Southern on Saturday night. Before we do that, I want to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. So this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to spice up college football season. I mean, emphasis on easy because it is so quick and so easy to play while you're watching your favorite team play. Just kick your feet up, watch the game, and let Underdog Fantasy do the work for you. Super easy to play, and you can win cold, hard cash in a single game. Unlike normal fantasy, when you have to wait the entire season to, you know, cash in. If you won your league, you got to wait the entire season, but not with Underdog Fantasy. They've got investment backing from Mark Cuban, Kevin Durant, Adam Schefter, and more. So you know that it's reputable, and you know that there's some big time names in sports that also back Underdog Fantasy. Customer support team is always top notch. It's the best in the business. So if you need anything, if you have an issue with your account or with your payment or whatever it might be, Underdog Fantasy has got you covered. So sign up with the promo code Locked On and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 for free. So go to underdogfantasy.com or find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store, the Google Play Store, whichever you use. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Locked On. Get in on the college football pick'em today. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, we are part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Underdog. Sign up on underdogfantasy.com with the promo code Locked On and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. So LSU with a massive 65-17 win over Southern. They got things done early. They got things moving early. 37 points in the first quarter alone. That is a team franchise program record, single scoring, single quarter scoring. So that's big. That's what you like to see. But I want to focus on, first and foremost, some of the three things that I did not like. And the three things that I took away from that really need some tailoring and some work after that game against Southern. First thing that I saw was penalties. The penalties have got to stop. One of my biggest issues, not just with LSU necessarily, but really watching any football team, is watching them play and saying, why are they making things more difficult on themselves? I said that about the Florida State game because LSU didn't take the gimmies, you know, muffing two punts. A punt should be a gimme. You know, missing field goals and extra points, blocked, of course. So, you know, couch it with that, but blocked field goal and extra point. Well, that's 4 points that were supposed to be gimmies that you missed out on. And I see so many times, so many football teams dig themselves in a hole. Look at Alabama, for example, against Texas. That game, you know, Texas was in the game with Alabama because Alabama committed so many penalties and they gave up so many yards and they had to dig themselves out of this hole that they got themselves into because they made their task at hand more difficult than it needed to be. And that's kind of what I saw from LSU on Saturday night against Southern was, you know, 6 penalties for 40 yards. That's not the worst thing in the world. You know, I looked at, you know, the Monday night football game, you know, the Broncos had like 100 yards worth of penalties. Like that's bad. That's worse. But 6 penalties, 40 yards. If you do it against Southern, you're going to do it against Mississippi State. You're going to do it against Florida. You're going to do it against Tennessee. You're going to do it against Auburn. You're going to do it against Alabama. Quit it with the penalties. 40 yards, that's key. 40 yards is, you know, is field goal range. 40 yards could be the difference of a touchdown or not. 40 yards could set you up in better position for field goal range. 40 yards is massive whenever you're talking about a game of inches and what could be the difference of a point, the difference of 6-6 and 7-5, the difference of, you know, 8-4 and 9-3. 40 yards is massive. So quit it with the penalties, you know, make your job easier. Just play clean football. And the false start calls on the offensive line is a problem. We saw it against Florida State. We saw it again against Southern. Now I want to touch on the offensive line because there were some things on the O-line that I did like. Penalties are going to come whenever you switch things up on the offensive line, like we saw LSU do on Saturday night, which I thought was a good thing. I approve of that. I'll get into that later on in the podcast. But whenever you switch up the line, whether it's offensive line, defensive line, any of these cohesive units, you're going to see some mistakes being made. So I do understand where they come from because, you know, in fall camp, this offensive line had been taking snaps with Garrett Dellinger under center. Okay, well, now you have movement, you have change at center. So this line doesn't have the chemistry built up that it built in camp. So I understand that those penalties come, but I mean, quit it with the false start penalties, quit it with the dumb penalties, make your job easier. Of course, it wasn't the difference of the game. It wasn't ever going to be the difference of the game, but it could be the difference of a game once you get into SEC play. So clean it up. Clean it up whenever you play more difficult opponents. Another thing that I saw against Florida State that I also kind of saw kind of trickle into this Southern game was an issue with tackling, especially in the secondary. So many times against Florida State, I saw these corners, these DBs and even linebackers as well, just go in for the kill shot, you know, coming in fast, coming in hard, aiming right at the numbers when really all you needed to do was just bring the guy down. Don't do anything extra. Don't get cute with it. Just bring your guy down. I saw a lot of missed tackles against Florida State. I saw a lot of missed tackles against Southern. Of course, like I just said, it's not going to be the difference of the game. It wasn't the difference of the game against Southern. But missed tackles was the difference of the game against Florida State, because Florida State just kept converting third down after third down. They were able to march on the field because LSU wasn't making those tackles. So I got to see the tackling cleaned up a little bit. Just wrap your arms around your guy, bring him down. You know, it doesn't have to be a crazy Sports Center top 10 type of tackle every single game, every single down. Just do your job, bring your guy down. And the third thing that I didn't like, and I want to break into this topic a little bit further, was Garrett Nussmeier. Of course, Jaden Daniels was pulled early. He had a great game. Garrett Nussmeier was brought in, which was good. I wanted to see Garrett Nussmeier because it was a butt whooping. So no need to leave Jaden Daniels in there longer. Don't risk injury. And also give some of the guys lower on her depth chart an opportunity to take snaps. That's not just at the quarterback position. That's across the entire roster. I'm glad we got to see some of the depth at a lot of those positions, which is also what I want to get into coming up next. So I was glad that we could see Garrett Nussmeier. But I think it was, while I didn't like what I saw from him, I think it was important. Because in that game against Florida State, I saw so many people calling for Garrett Nussmeier to come in. And I thought, you people must be lunatics. Because do you see Jaden Daniels running away from all of this pressure that the offensive line cannot stop for him? Garrett Nussmeier isn't as athletic or mobile as Jaden Daniels is. And sure, you could say he has a stronger arm. You could absolutely make that argument. But it wasn't a problem of arm strength against Florida State. It was a problem of Jaden Daniels doesn't even have time to sit back in the pocket to be able to make some of those big throws. And to be fair, a lot of that was on Jaden Daniels for not waiting back in the pocket a little bit longer. He prematurely started jetting off on several downs. I will absolutely, critique that. But I was not on for the Garrett Nussmeier train. And I think that what we saw against Southern on Saturday night just kind of solidified that Garrett Nussmeier is not going to be the starting quarterback for this LSU team. 13 of 23, 183 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Garrett Nussmeier did not take care of the football on Saturday. And that just kind of plays along into this entire narrative that's surrounding Garrett Nussmeier of this gunslinger mentality. We talked a lot about that in the offseason, and he even addressed it right at the beginning. Before the spring game, he said, I want to get rid of that reputation. I want to take care of the football. I want to be more responsible quarterback. And I think that he still has some work to do there. For example, I believe it was 3rd and 11. So not an easy first down to get, but LSU's in field goal range, Garrett Nussmeier is driving. You're in field goal range. Garrett Nussmeier was facing pressure instead of just throwing the ball away. It's going to be difficult to get a first down. You're at 3rd and 11. Just throw the ball away. You're in field goal range. Let the special teams unit come out, kick a field goal, take the 3 points. Let the defense go out on the field and do what they've been doing all night of getting stops. And then you get the ball back and you get another opportunity to march it down to the end zone and score, which would have been the responsible thing to do, which would have been the smart thing to do, which would have shown Garrett Nussmeier's awareness of the game and responsibility of the game. But instead of throwing the ball away at 3rd and 11, he held on to it. And under pressure, he threw it as he was falling down when he got hit. And of course, Southern picked it up, pick 6. Southern turned that into a touchdown. So in a situation where you could have gotten 3 points, instead, Southern got 7. You can't do that. Because like I said so many times today, if you do it against Southern, you'll do it against Mississippi State. You don't think the pressure is going to be more against Mississippi State, Alabama, whoever it might be on the SEC schedule? You don't think that Garrett Nussmeier is going to try and play even more hero ball against those types of opponents? That's kind of what I saw from Garrett Nussmeier on Saturday night. He's irresponsible with the football. He tries too hard to play hero ball and to turn, you know, unfortunate situations or situations where you're obviously not going to get a first down. He tries to turn those situations into big time plays. You're not going to get third and 11. Okay. Throw the ball away, kick a field goal. Two interceptions against Southern. That could have been four. Could have been five, honestly, on Saturday night. And if you play against, you know, better defensive backs, could have been four or five. So I think that we learned on Saturday, albeit I didn't like what I saw from Garrett Nussmeier. I learned that he still has work to do. I learned that a lot of the Garrett Nussmeier hype, at least in the offseason, probably will not transfer into the regular season. That's okay. He has time. Jaden Daniels is your starting quarterback. Garrett Nussmeier is your backup quarterback. Garrett Nussmeier has time to grow. Garrett Nussmeier has time to learn responsibility. But let's not call for Garrett Nussmeier anymore, because I think we saw the Garrett Nussmeier experience and experiment on Saturday fail. This is not an indictment on Garrett Nussmeier. He's got a strong arm. He's just got to learn responsibility, because you cannot make mistakes like that and be so reckless with the football like he was on Saturday night. That does not transfer well into SEC play. But coming up next, three things that I did like. Let's end on a happy note on our LSU Southern recap. Again, LSU beating Southern 65-17 in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. Coming up next, three things that I did like. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help make your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. And it's so important to get the good people in, and also so you don't have to waste your time, because as a small business owner or contributor to a small business, we already know that you've got too much on your plate. So make your job easier with LinkedIn Jobs. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. I mean, that's massive. It's like shooting fish in a barrel there. Then all you got to do is add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions, it makes it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. Don't waste time with people who don't have the right skills or qualifications for the job that you're posting. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Three things that I did like from LSU in their matchup, their home opener against Southern on Saturday night. First and foremost, the lines. And that's twofold. Let's focus on the offensive line, because I liked the switch up on the offensive line. Now, is this combination going to be the key moving forward? Is this, you know, just a little bit of movement from the Florida State game? Is that going to be what unlocks the best offensive line in college football? No. But I did like to see that they at least change things, that they're experimenting with different guys in different positions. So Will Campbell stayed at left tackle. Garrett Dellinger moved from center to left guard, which I think was a good move. Garrett Dellinger had trouble with the snap against Florida State. You cannot have bad snaps in big games. Those are gimmies. You cannot make mistakes like that. So Garrett Dellinger moves over to left guard. Charles Turner comes in at center. Anthony Bradford at right guard. He was playing at right guard against Florida State. And then Miles Frazier moves over to right tackle, and Cam Wire was not in the starting lineup. So that offensive line looked fine. They protected the quarterback. There were two sacks. I think that was more so an indictment on the quarterback rather than the protection. But this offensive line looked fine against Southern. Again, take it with a grain of salt, because because this defensive line isn't going to be as robust as the defensive line that you see later on this season. So, you know, it'll get tested against Mississippi State. Absolutely. So I have a feeling that this is the offensive line combination that you're going to see at least moving forward. And if the protection seems to be as bad as it was against Florida State moving forward. I'm sure they'll continue to make adjustments there. But it looked fine against Southern. How will it look against a real pass rush? But I like to see the switch up, and I like to see the quarterback be more protected against Southern than it was against Florida State. But the other line that I liked, the defensive line, I liked the play, but I also loved to see LSU flex their depth of the defensive line position. The three starters out, of course, Allie Gay out in the first half due to targeting call against Florida State. B.J. Ojulari was on the sidelines. I think it was just out of an abundance of caution. I think he got a little bit nicked up against Florida State. There was no need for B.J. Ojulari to be out there. Obviously, LSU took care of business handedly without him. So I like to see him take a rest day and be able to figure out like whatever injury had been going on with him. So he was out of the game. And then also, obviously, Mason Smith, who's out for the season with an ACL tear. So in place of Allie Gay, at least in the first half, B.J. Ojulari and Mason Smith. We saw Mekhi Wingo go in for Mason Smith. We saw him go in for Mason Smith in the Florida State game. He had a really solid day, 6 total tackles. But against Southern, he had 3 tackles and half a sack. Solid. Desmond Little came in for B.J. Ojulari. He had 6 total tackles. And he also tipped that ball for a pick six that Micah Baskerville returned. So good on that. Good play. Good awareness from Desmond Little. And then also we saw Savion Jones in for Allie Gay. He had 6 total tackles and a half sack as well. So the team as a whole on the night had 4 total sacks. I like to see those guys a little bit lower on the depth chart go in and make plays, because I think it, one, gives them confidence, gives them experience, because unfortunately accidents happen. Things happen in college football. We already saw it with Mason Smith. So if something happens, another targeting call, injuries, so on and so forth, they build up, unfortunately, throughout the season. So start to build some confidence and experience in your lower level guys early whenever you can. So I like to see that. And I think that those guys lower on the depth chart, I think they played a really good game. And I think that moving forward, this defensive line position, this front seven, is really going to be in good shape for LSU, for showing a lot of promise for these young guys. The second thing that I liked, getting Kayshon Booty involved early. They made that very, very obvious. He needed the confidence in himself. He needed to get things moving. And I think it also needed to prove a point that, hey, Kayshon Booty is still one of the top receivers in the country. He had a bad game against Florida State. I think he needed to get in there, get in early, start to probably help his mentals and prove to himself and prove to everybody else, I still got it. So, you know, Jaden Daniels' first pass was to Kayshon Booty. He was targeted 5 times. He got all 5 of his targets for 42 yards. He didn't stay in the game long, but I think that getting him involved early, making a statement, making it very intentional that Jaden Daniels was going to target Kayshon Booty, I think was important. It was key for Kayshon Booty. It was key for the chemistry between those two. I think it was just important to get in, get out, stay healthy, show that you can still do it, show that you still got it, build that confidence. I think that was very, very important because, I mean, in week 1, Kayshon Booty had 2 receptions in the entire game, 2 of 6 against Florida State. He finished the first drive with 2 receptions. That's key. That's big. That very much so is intentional. Third thing that I really liked was the fixes on special teams. That was the number one thing that I didn't like. The most glaringly obvious thing that went wrong for LSU against Florida State was special teams. 2 muffed punts, blocked field goal, block extra point. That's the game right there. That's 4 points. It was a difference of 1 point in the game. You fix those special teams issues, you win that game. So I needed to see a little bit more from this LSU special teams team. And they did. This unit had a really solid day. A blocked punt, forced fumble, 8 of 8 on extra points. Gregory Clayton had a nice 18-yard punt return. We didn't see Malik Nabers as expected. You know, he got the opportunity against Florida State. He dropped 2 balls. You cannot make mistakes like that. Those are absolute gimmies. So I don't think that you'll see Malik Nabers as a punt returner or kick returner moving forward, but Gregory Clayton did have a nice showing up there returning punts. So that was good. Fixing the problems on special teams, not making those silly mistakes, I think is key, and making those adjustments as well. That's one of my biggest takeaways from this LSU game against Southern was, you know, of course, you're going to see a dominant performance on both sides of the line, just because that's the nature of playing a lower level opponent. However, I wanted to see some changes. I wanted to see some personnel grouping switch around, and that's what we did see. So that's good. That's a good sign from this coaching staff making adjustments. The final thing that I did like was LSU capitalizing off of Southern's mistakes. Again, it's Southern, and they're probably going to make mistakes. But I like to see LSU turn those into opportunities for themselves, because you can do that against SEC opponents. You can do that against Mississippi State this weekend. You know, if they turn the ball over, you can turn that into a touchdown. You can turn that into points. You can move the ball down the field whenever they hand you the ball. So that was good to see kind of the awareness from this LSU team, and also the ability to be able to turn those mistakes into opportunities for LSU. I mean, for example, turned all of certain Southern's fumbles and turnovers into 21 points. We saw the Micah Baskerville pick six, who returned it for 29 yards. Micah Baskerville is that dude. And on tomorrow's episode, I'm going to talk about Micah Baskerville because I want to see more from him. Fumble recovery for a touchdown in the first quarter, which in that drive included a 21-yard bomb to Kayshon Booty. Love to see that. So a fumble recovery for a touchdown in the third quarter. Those were your 21 points. That obviously was not the difference in this game, seeing as though LSU beat them by 40 plus points, but you need those 21 points. You need those little gimmies moving forward against more difficult opponents. I mean, Southern had five total turnovers, four fumbles, one interception, three in the first half, and LSU was able to capitalize off of that. So good. Take that moving forward. Always keep your head on a swivel and turn those opportunities into something tangible. But the four things that I did like: the line, switch up on O-line, the depth on the defensive line, getting Kayshon and Booty involved a lot, and getting him involved early, and then pulling him. No need to leave him in there longer. Capitalizing off of Southern's mistakes and turning those into point opportunities, and also fixing the problems on special teams that we saw on against Florida State. I think you can be encouraged after that opponent, after that game. Of course, lower level opponent against Southern, always take it with a grain of salt. This team's got to be more confident moving forward. I, at least, am more confident moving forward as well. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Locked On LSU. You hit that subscribe button and you'll get notified as soon as the podcast drops. You will not miss a second of your Locked On LSU content. Coming up tomorrow, I'll have my game balls, offensive, defensive, and special teams, plus what Brian Kelly had to say in his Monday press conference. You can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.